Welcome to the third Supercoach Coach preseason podcast of season 2014. My name's Marcus and I'm joined again by FB Donkey.
G'day everyone.
So this week we are going to look at the forward line. I know the last time we said we were going to talk a bit about the NAB Cup, but seeing as there are only 18 games and we're close to the end of the NAB Challenge series, we're going to wait for the conclusion before we do a NAB Cup roundup, Mark.
Sounds good, man.
Yeah, so this week we're going to take a look to the forward line and to the forward line premiums. So we'll just crack right in, starting off with Patrick Dangerfield, the most expensive forward.
Lock it in.
609,000, easily the most expensive, but a no question lock for you, Mark.
Yeah, and if you look at his preseason NAB scores, been pretty shit ass, to be honest. But doesn't really matter. He's been playing out of full forward, getting some run into his legs, and he'll be unleashed once the season begins, you'd think. And look, I think pretty much everyone's going to pick him just because he plays like a super premium midfielder. Available as a forward, we've seen it before, and I guess it could fail, but the chances of it, you needing Dangerfield to win the competition, are pretty high, you think.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Mark. He's probably the only bona fide midfielder available on the forward line this year that's of premium bonafide quality.
Top line. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I think this year we'll probably just, everybody will just commit to Danger. Now to a more difficult selection in Nick Riewoldt. He's the second highest averaging forward from last year, which would have been a surprise to most people considering his knee. So he managed to defy the odds last year. Can he do it again this year?
I think he might have been a bit cheaper at the start of last year. And at that price and his age and St Kilda potentially struggling this season, I mean, you'd think that he'd struggle to hold it up. He's averaged in the two seasons previous last year were 95 and 87, so had a couple of down years because of those injuries. Back up to 105 last year. I sort of wrote him off probably a little bit at the start of last year and probably shouldn't have. And you never know with Nick Riewoldt. He's an absolute champion of the game, so he definitely could average 105 again. I doubt there's much value there, and I just think better options.
Yeah, I'm probably of the same sentiment, and I think we both wrote him off last year, which was a mistake in hindsight, but he just really led the season off really well. He did tend to trail off again as the season wore on and his knees wore on. So, yeah, I tend to think they're better value options. But, again, we made the wrong call last year. So, if you're looking at Nick Riewoldt, I don't think he's a particularly bad selection. He's just a lot more risky because of his price tag. Now, Brent Harvey's another guy who probably got written off in the similar category. But he, of course, was suspended for the start of last season, Mark?
Yeah, I think it was maybe even the first six matches. So, missed a whole chunk of the season. Averaged 104 in the end, had a few really big games. It's going to be pretty hard to put the tag on Harvey now. There's a few other North Melbourne players that should draw that tag first, including Nick Delsano. So, yeah, I think he seems pretty fully priced. Again, a bit like Riewoldt aging, but a lot of people have North doing quite well this year, and that might make Harvey a little bit tempting because he can play as with a midfield player average.
He's been one of the old stalwarts. Another one of his teammates, Drew Petrie, how do you view his selection in comparison? He's only priced at, I think, 7K less than Boomer.
Yeah, that's tricky. He had a big season last year. The first time he's actually ever averaged over 100 in Supercoach. My wife keeps reminding me about that. She loves the Petrie selection, wins her quite a few games. But yeah, that's the first time he's averaged over 100. I guess if North have a big year and they do make top four or six, then you could see him averaging over 100 again. I guess a little bit depends on what they do with their ruck setup. Is Dorr ready to play more games? Were they serious about saying that he might play two rucks this year? You'd probably think that he'd need a little bit of ruck time, even though most of his points come from those forward marks and goals. It's too expensive for me, though.
Yeah, especially as a key position forward, they tend to fluctuate a bit in price, so he's one that, you know, probably will dip throughout the season.
Round 8 buy, might be able to get him a little bit cheaper.
Dusty Martin is the next player we're looking at, and he's probably a player that's been pretty hot in contention. Quite a few people have him as a lock because of his ability to score like a midfielder in the forward line, and other people probably feel he's pretty well priced because season after season, even though he's managed decent averages, he does tend to disappoint a little bit considering the amount of potential a lot of people see in Dusty. He doesn't always see it through, but he was supposed to have matured significantly last year, so this year again, you're hoping for an improvement, and there's no reason that his talent can't deliver an improved average. There's talk that he's going to play off the half back line in his first NAB Cup game. He did actually do that. How do you think he's going to go this year and potentially, you know, gaining some lucrative possessions leaving the back 50?
Coming into his fifth season, only missed three games in his career so far. Those two factors lean very strongly towards picking Martin. Average 101 last year. You'd think that he has the potential to be 115 averaging Supercoach player at some stage in the future. So all those things point towards Martin being a pretty good pick, especially since he's available as a forward. Probably the biggest concern for me is the fact that he is being used as a halfback flanker. You're not going to get a lot of attention doing that in the NAB Cup, but you'd think once the real stuff hits that they would put someone on him and play pretty tightly on him back there. And we have seen that that's affected some players in the past quite significantly. And defenders don't normally average as much as forwards and midfielders. They're sort of, their average is capped a little bit. So yeah, it depends a little bit on his role, but you'd think that he's not going to be a huge fail pick. Given his durability and age profile and Richmond improving. So from that perspective, I would find it very hard not to pick him. And he's definitely been in my side since the start of preseason and hasn't left it.
Wow, that's a big call, Mark. He's probably been in and out of mine a bit because I tend to worry about paying for a fully priced player. And I think at 102, there's a chance that he might not increase on the average this year, but like you said, Mark, there's some hugely compelling points for bringing Martin into your side. And I know a lot of people just have him as a lock and a player not to even think about. So
yeah, look, I think that you make some valid points. I don't think he's a 100% lock, but he could definitely burn you. Richmond have a pretty decent start to the season. So yeah, I don't think I'd be leaving him out.
Oh, he is the fifth highest averaging forward available this year from last year's averages. So even that staggers me a little bit. I would have thought that he didn't quite finish as high, but he did really well. Or a lot of the forwards that were available last year have since lost their eligibility in the forward line. Chad Wingard's the next player we're going to look at, who also broke out last year. 99 was his average for the year. And of course, we saw him pick up very valuable possessions on the half forward line and also floating onto the wing. How do you think he'll do this year? We saw Lewis Jetta really break out. Of course, not quite as Supercoach lucrative as Wingard, but then struggled the year after that when other teams saw his value and started tagging him. Do you think the same thing will happen to Wingard? Because he certainly seems at risk of that with how damaging he can be in the football game.
Yeah, the short answer to that question is yes, I do see that happening, and he will get a whole bunch of more attention this year. But then again, I think that Wingard is a better player than Jetta, and he can take a grab, he can kick plenty of goals, he's a real match winner, and I think that's why he'll get a bit more attention, because he can just take a game away from sides. So there's a little bit of depth of port which might keep him free a little bit, but yeah, I think that he will. I'd struggle to pick a third year player coming off a 98 average. Even Dustin Martin, similar progression, averaged 98 in his second year, went back to 88 in the third year, and then broke out again in the fourth year. So yeah, that would worry me considerably, and I haven't really considered him seriously.
All right, next player on the list is Jared Ruffhead. Averaged 99 for the year as well, similar, same as Wingard, 531k, and of course playing for Hawthorn, which we assume are going to play pretty well again. Franklin has left, so Ruffhead will be even more of a focal point in the forward line. Last year, he already dropped off his ruck time with the emergence of Bailey a bit last year, and Hale taking over a lot of the duties. So we already have seen him transition to more of a full forward role and manage still quite a good average. With Franklin gone, you'd think that he'd get more of the ball. He captained their first NAB Cup game. How do you think Ruffhead will go this season? Is he somebody worth picking up? I mean, he was the eighth highest averaging forward available this year from last year's scores. So if he improves, he might push his way into the top seven.
Yeah, I guess dipped his average a little bit last year that was with Buddy in the side, but not playing as much ruck. With Hale and McAvoy, you wouldn't think he'd get a lot of ruck time, so that probably limits his scoring potential a little bit and means he might have some quieter games in there. Look, I think that probably a pretty solid pick, and you'd think that he'd average around 100 again. Probably does have some upside. Could win, easily win the Coleman medal. It's really expensive, and I think that there's a fair bit of value around. And if I've got Dangerfield and Martin locked, so not a whole lot more spots left, especially at the expensive range, but I think it'll be a pretty good pick.
Travis Cloke, Mark, another full forward playing for Collingwood, obviously. I mean, how do you think he'll go this year? Averaged 95 last year. They've got Jesse White to take away some of the attention. And we know Cloke last year really suffered from being pretty much the sole target at Collingwood up forward, and therefore, you know, always dealing with two-on-ones. We've seen just how high Travis Cloke can score when he's on song. Surely there's a little bit of value to be had with Travis. Do you think the Kendall can make it into a team this year?
You can make it into some team. It probably won't be mine, though.
I didn't want to say your team because I knew it'd just be a blanket no straight away.
I mean, if you look back at the start of last year, 96, 69, 121, 147, 67, 121. So started off pretty hot, had a pretty hot period in the middle, and then trailed off quite a bit at the end of the year. I think with Reed and White going forward, it will help him a bit. I think that the new wrestling rule up forward is going to help him a fair bit, and he'll probably end up with a few more goals and less frees against, which could add 5 points to his average. You could see him over a stretch being worth 600,000 at some stage. I guess it a bit depends on Collingwood's form as well. Yeah, look, I mean, he's obviously not going to make my team, but there probably is a little bit of value there.
Now, to Charlie Dixon, also available as a DPP in the ruck. Averaged 91 last year. So moving forward this year, he's going to play a bit more in the forward line. Is that right, Mark?
Yeah, it's a little bit unclear what's going to happen with the Suns setup, because you've got Nichols and Gorringe and Smith coming back, which means that it's probably more likely to play up forward. He will get a little bit more support up there this year with Lynch playing and taking a few grabs. So a little bit less focused on Charlie Dixon this year. And I think really you'd be wanting to get Dixon as the second ruckman. If he's not going to play that role, I probably wouldn't be picking him as a key forward in his fourth year, to be honest.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are looking at him because he's one of the few with that crucial RF DPP that we do seem to gravitate towards each year, but he is a risky selection, and you assume that he will dip in price at some stage throughout the season. Probably not looking to be a top seven forward at this stage, I wouldn't have thought, though.
Also, a round eight buy causes a few issues as well.
Does seem to be trouble across the board, that round eight buy across all positions.
Yes, it does.
Now, Lance Franklin, finally we get to the Buddy man. He's only the 12th highest averaging forward last year, so hugely disappointing, but of course we knew that Hawthorn started to transition themselves to life without Buddy, so of course his scores were going to see a little bit of a dip. Average 90.4, and really consistency is not really too much of an issue again looking at this year. Even though his scoring dropped off a little bit last year, he still managed to get his hands on the pill quite a bit, considering he wasn't, you know, that heavily used as a forward target. How do you think he'll go this year? I know we talked about him in the first show when we looked at players that moved clubs at the off season, and we talked about, or I at least was pretty hot on him, and we potentially suggested together that he could be a lock for the forward line. How do you feel about it? He hasn't yet played a game yet for the Swans, is that right, Mark?
That's right. Now, you paid $600,000 for him at the start of last year, is that right?
Yeah, and then
and now he's worth $487,000.
Yeah.
And he's not injured?
No, he's not.
Yeah, well, I think that explains everything, doesn't it?
Okay. That easy for you, Mark?
Yeah, it really is. Averaged 115 in the past, 110, 107 the 3 years before last year. There was a clear role change at Hawthorn where it was almost a decoy man for a lot of last year. That's not going to happen at the Swans. Look, there might be some reason why his ceiling is a little bit lower at the Swans than it was at the Hawks. They do have a lot of players to share the points around, but priced at an average of 90, you just can't see him going backwards from that. As long as he can stay fit, which is probably the biggest concern with Buddy, because he has missed a few games every year the last 4 or 5 years. So, yeah, I just can't see not picking him at all. If he's fit, he's in my team.
Yeah, especially if he's going to go out there and kick a 150, you'll be kicking yourself if you don't have him.
And he can really burn you, especially over a 4 or 5 game stretch.
Yeah, so I think it's P. Dangerfield 1, Franklin 2 in the forward line. Is that right, Mark?
Yep. Yeah.
In terms of first pick, second pick, or no?
Pretty even, those two.
Yeah? Oh, okay. Well, you must have Franklin really high on your sights then. I thought you were a little bit colder earlier on in the preseason, but...
Well, maybe the more I've looked into it, the more obvious it's become.
All right, now off to a former teammate of Franklin's and one that we saw such elite potential in but has not really eventuated as such in his short career so far. That's Cyril Rioli.
Wouldn't I love to pick this guy?
Yeah, only 13 games last year, and that seems to be the major issue, injury with his soft tissues. Yep. But did manage an average of 88.4, though, and we know just how valuable he can be. So he has played a preseason game off the halfback line and looked pretty slick doing it. Do you think he's worth the risk this year, Mark? We know he's well capable of averaging 100 if he's on song. Is this year the year to take the risk on him?
Coming into his 7th season, an amazing amount of potential. Might have a bigger role at the Hawks with Buddy not there. If it wasn't for injury, I think at his price, I'd be picking him in this year. He looks underpriced for sure. He'd averaged almost 100 the 2 years before last year, before dipping under 90. So a bit of value there. He seems to be able to cope with attention because he can just burn people off. Great tackles, contested footy winner. There are plenty of reasons to pick Rioli. I haven't picked him myself at the moment, but as we've brought him up and looking in closer at the stats, maybe I should be.
Be hard to pick him based on his injury history, but you know, it takes the ballsiest people to make the most valuable call sometimes, and Rioli certainly fits that category. So it'd be interesting to see just what his selection statistics are going into the real season. Probably leaning toward no, just because I'm a bit averse to that sort of risk.
Definitely a massive risk, and that's the reason why you wouldn't pick.
But if you were to start, I mean, if you were to take a risk, it's best off at the start of the season rather than...
I remember having this conversation about Chapman a few years ago that, yeah, if you're going to be taking a risk on a really injury-prone player and they've got a bit of a price discount, just do it at the start of the season.
Yeah, don't be sucked in by a couple of early games, bring him in and then have him get injured. That's definitely not the way to do it. Now back to a couple of Sydney lads also available in the forward line and the midfield, both of these blokes. That's Luke Parker and Tom Mitchell. Both probably have a pretty similar story, good in the inside game. Parker played, of course, 22 games last year and had a pretty decent season, although a lot of people were expecting a little bit better. I know some people picked him as an improver in the midfield. Didn't quite pan out that way. But Tom Mitchell emerged as a rookie last year and really just astounded us all with his scoring and scoring consistency. We heard good things about him, but I for one didn't think he could produce at the level he did, especially, I think, did he even have some sub-affected games in that 12, Mark?
I think so.
Yeah.
And he did pick up an injury late in the season as well.
So I know Mitchell is one that a lot of people are looking at going into this
because season. Because he scored like 150 in the NAB game and looked amazing doing so.
So is he worth the risk, Mark? Or again, are we dealing with the issue of Sydney having just a glut of midfielders and that being an issue once we get into the season?
It's a tricky question with Mitchell, and I'm not quite sure where to go. It is his second season, but then he spent the second season playing seniors, but he spent a season injured before that on the Sydney list. He's been a stats beast his whole junior career and in the NEFL as well. He just has the potential to just score huge. He's a great fantasy player, probably a little bit more suited to Dream Team. Did average 5 more points in Dream Team than Supercoach last year. I think he presents a lot of value. If he can... And I know that all the Sydney midfielders were there last week, but they probably weren't playing as much midfield time and they gave Mitchell heaps of time in the guts. I could definitely see him average 95 to 100. If he does that, then he presents a ton of value and it's going to be really good for your side. I guess considering he's had injury problems the last 2 years, that might be some concern that could come up at some stage and hurt you. I can see why people would be picking him.
Well, we know Mitchell looks very attractive because of his upward trend, obviously, having, you know, just scored so well last year, and we're looking toward his potential this year. And whereas Luke Parker, you know, had a season before that, and last year probably didn't score as much as people would have hoped. But looking at both of them individually, you would think that Luke Parker is probably more on track for a bigger season, maybe?
Yeah, they're tough to split. I think Luke Parker's probably a safer pick than Mitchell. and they probably have a similar upside. Maybe Mitchell's is slightly high, but it'll be pretty similar. A little bit worried that Parker likes to handball maybe a bit too much, which can limit his scoring in some games. And sometimes last year was played in the defensive role, but that allowed him to kick a few goals. So I think Parker's a safer pick, and if I had to pick out of the two, I really like the upside of Mitchell, but I think I'd probably take Parker, and he has been in and out of my side over the preseason.
Yeah, I think I have Parker a little ahead of Mitchell as well. Chappie, we've got to talk about Mark, of
course. Who does he play for?
Essendon. But since we last talked about Chappie, he's come out and said he's only aiming for 16 games, so that changes things a fair bit. Do you think he's worth selecting to, you know, I'd assume with 16 games as a target, you're going to have to trade him out probably at some stage of the season. Do you think he holds enough value to maybe have him at the start and trade him out at a certain point in during the buys or something?
Probably not. I think that when he said that, he'll probably aim to play 20 games or so and maybe only get rested in a couple, but might end up, if he makes 16, that's sort of a successful season for him. So likely to average 100, I think, again. Could definitely score really well, but and provides heaps of value at 460, but that talk is probably enough to keep me away from him. There's plenty of other options, as we've discussed tonight. So, yeah, that's enough to make me, unfortunately, not want to pick him. I'll just be barracking him for him as a bomber.
On to a player that's priced exact same as Chappie this season, and also another player that's moved clubs. Colin Sylvia, now at Fremantle. Well, that was quick.
Do we need to spend any longer than that?
So he hasn't shown enough so far in the preseason, has he?
No, he definitely hasn't. Plenty of other good players that
not injury prone and shown more in their already long careers.
That's exactly right. And not going to whack someone and get suspended or do something stupid. Yeah.
All right.
A lot of risk with him.
To another bloke who holds probably a lot more potential then in both our eyes, Jack Gunston. Last year was the Hawks' best finals player, averaged 83. Now, with a buddyless forward line, how do we see Jack Gunston this year? Do you think he can improve? He probably need to improve by about 15 points to be worth picking up. Do you think he has that sort of improvement in him? He'll have to function more as a key tall, won't he, Mark?
Yeah, you'd think so. But I mean, they do have Hale down there. They've got Ruffy. They've got a few other people in the Hawks lineup that can shuffle through there. Look, I think that, yes, I think he will improve. Yes, I think he'll probably average more than 90. Yes, I think he provides value. Yes, he'll probably kick more than 40 goals this year. Plenty of reasons to pick him. I think that there's some better options out there and you've got very limited spaces. But yeah, I think that for all those reasons that he does present a bit of value, and I can definitely understand why people would be taking him.
Next player, Dane Zorko from the Brisbane Lions, averaged a similar amount to to Gunston last year. And I know a lot of people were picking between Rockcliffe and Zorko, and actually quite a few people ended up on the Zorko side of things last year.
Was that a mistake? Jesus.
It's turned out it was, Mark. But heading into this year, do we think that Zorko is capable of redemption? He's still available as a forward mid MPP. And I know he's probably one of the players that people are looking to lock in after Dangerfield, after Franklin, after Martin. I know a lot of people are looking at Zorko.
Yeah, they are. And there's probably a good reason for that. Apparently had a really good preseason. Lepich loves him. Likely to play more midfield time this year. A few players ahead of him for the tag, although wouldn't surprise me to see him get a bit of attention at some stage because he is so dangerous. Averaged 100 in his first year. A mature age player entering his third year. The fact that Brisbane might struggle a little bit is concerning me with Zorko, and that's probably the main reason why he's not in my side. But yeah, I mean, when you look at those stats, you can see why the people are picking him.
Another player in that sort of same category is Pavlich. He'd probably be one of the other popular selections that people are looking at. Unlike Zorko, he didn't play out a full season last year, only played the 9 games. He was injury affected right from the start and just really couldn't get into it. He looked slow. He looked not like the Matthew Pavlich we knew all season long. But we know he's an absolute jet and just what he's capable of. Fremantle, most people assume, are going to challenge pretty intently on the top 4 again this year. How do we think Pavlich will go in 2014, and do you have him locked into your side or has he spent most of the preseason out of it?
I think I picked him in my first team and he hasn't actually left. I don't think he's quite that much of a lock, but at his price, given his history, I mean, he's been priced at 600,000 plenty of times, and he's priced at 437 to begin the year. I think that he could make you look silly if you didn't pick him. Then again, he's coming into his 13th season, and not many players produce an average they haven't produced before in that season. So, look, if I can get 100, 105 out of Pav and he plays 21 games, then I think that's a pretty good result.
Excellent result.
And I think that that is well and truly within his capabilities. Pav versus Zorko, I think that's probably trickier than I've made it out to be. I'm going to take Pav, but I can understand why people would take Zorko. I think Pav maybe just has a bit of higher upside.
Yeah, well, I think he's one player that you're happy to take that risk on from the start of the season. Hope that he'll get back to his best, but even if he doesn't, you can look to use a correction trade on him. But we've seen the pedigree of Pavlich, so I can understand him not leaving your side all preseason. As compared to Zorko, he does seem like the safer selection, so I am leaning toward that way as well over Zorko. But having said that, I know a lot of people are trying to fit them both into their teams.
The fact that what Nick Riewoldt did last year at his age, if Pav can do anything similar to that in a Fremantle side that should do really well this year, then you'd be super happy.
There'll be quite a few Fremantle players in some people's teams, those that like Fife and Sandilands. But for some people, a few of the Fremantle players are a little bit more on the fringe in terms of can they take the next step up. So Pavlich is probably one of the easier Fremantle selections to make, and considering many people have them in their top fours for 2014, he could be one of the Frio players you choose to select for your side. Now, the last player we're going to look at today, and we're going to just cut it off at the 400,000 mark and look at the mid prices in another show in the remainder of the preseason. And the last player we're going to look at is Jack Darling from the West Coast Eagles. Averaged 76.6 last year, was his second year in the AFL, so this year hitting his third. Of course, he's an absolute brute of a man, can kick goals and lay a load of tackles for somebody of his size. How do you feel he'll go this year in the West Coast Eagles forward line? Hopefully, I'm thinking people have West Coast rebounding from last year's disappointment. That should see Jack Darling, you know, be presented with a few more opportunities. Of course, Kennedy's emergence last year meant that Darling probably didn't get quite as many forward opportunities as he maybe got when Kennedy was out injured the year before. And of course, Lacroix probably play a little bit more of this season than he played last season as well. How do you feel about Darling's selection? I know a lot of people looking at him for a mid-priced improver.
Well, he'd spent a little bit of time in the midfield in the NAB Cup in the first game. There's talk of him doing that a little bit. He's not going to play midfield, but he might just have a couple of rotations through there. He does have that sort of versatility. Coming into his fourth season, fit into the AFL really well. I think the main thing here is West Coast improving, like you said. Decent draw if they get off to a hot start. You could see him averaging over 90 for at least the first half of the season. So I can definitely understand the pick. I think that there's probably a few better options, but if you're struggling for cash and need a cheap 400 player, Darling could be a man. Very, very risky considering his highest average previously was 76. So you're really taking a punt on someone like that. So I think someone like a Pav that has the runs on the board is a better pick. But yeah, I can understand why people are considering him at least.
Yeah, I think with Pavlich and Zorko both available at this price range this year, it's going to be hard to pick a more smoky mid-pricer in that same price category. I know in the past it's been quite a popular player type to go for, that 400,000 range forward line player, because we've tended to shy away from the absolute cream of the crop forwards. But it does seem like year after year they still manage to keep producing the Riewoldts, the Harveys. So it'll be interesting to see just how this year pans out again. I know with the increased price of the midfield rookies, a lot of people are looking to a few more mid-price selections rather than the absolute true premium rookie strategy. But again, it's going to be hard to see Darling come up ahead of Zorko, Pavlich, and even just a little bit more. We talked about Parker Mitchell being just quite attractive options in terms of likelihood for improvement with the Sydney Swans.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I haven't changed the forward premiums in my team for quite a while now, but after discussing some of these players tonight, I might go check, find a way to fit Rioli in or something.
yeah, there's a lot of exciting X-factor players in the forward line. And of course, everybody loves picking that breakout selection. And there's certainly a few contenders within the forward line this year. So that probably wraps up this episode of the Supercoach Coach podcast. Thank you for joining us, and we'll hopefully be back soon with our next episode, Mark. What do you think we'll be looking at next?
Probably defenders, mate, and then we'll leave rucks till last. I think, as always, rucks are causing everyone the most problems, which is rather strange, seeing as Sandiland pretty much a lock to be on the ground if he's fit, so you only have to fill one position, yet I know a lot of people find it very difficult to work out who that player will be.
Yeah, and it's also unfortunate because rucks often play a big part in dictating just how the rest of the team structure goes in terms of how much is actually allocated to that small division. So yeah, we'll also be back with a NAB Cup review once all the games have been played. So stay tuned at supercoachcoach.com.au. We'll have the latest podcast to you as soon as possible. In the meantime, enjoy picking your teams, enjoy the last few NAB Challenge games, and happy supercoaching.
See ya.